Friday, July 5th. There are reports from both Britain and France this morning that the French government is going to break off relations with Britain because of the British action against the French fleet. A French newspaper says that in a meeting at Vichy, the French Council of Ministers decided to sever relations with Britain. But now the news direct from Europe, as reported by Columbia's correspondents in London and Berlin, following which there will be an analysis of the news by Linton Wells in New York. First, the report from the British capital by Edward R. Murrow. Go ahead, London.
This is London. There is no joyous celebration of the tragedy at Oran. It was a bitter victory. The London press is unanimous in its support of the government's decision, but there's a note of regret in both press and private comment. Regret that British guns should have been used to smash French ships and kill French seamen. The Daily Herald summarizes in a few words the columns of newsprint devoted to the French fleet. It says, "Not for an instant was the proper course in question. Yet never in the history of nations can duty's voice have spoken more harshly. Another agonizing chapter of the war is written. Now we prepare to write the last." There are reports this morning that more French warships have anchored in Scottish waters. There is no news of the French naval units presumed still to be anchored alongside the British at Alexandria. According to unofficial estimates, 5 of the 7 French battleships are now accounted for. 2 are in Britain, 1 at Alexandria, 1 sunk, 1 heavily damaged at Oran. Of the 2 French battlecruisers, 1 was beached and the other badly damaged at Oran. 12 cruisers are still unaccounted for. It is believed that 2 are in Britain and 4 at Alexandria. 1 aircraft carrier was lost at Oran, and the whereabouts of the second is not known. The French started the war with 61 destroyers, only 10 of which have been accounted for. No figures are available as to the disposition of the 81 French submarines, but an unstated number are in British ports while others are in the Mediterranean. Most of the 200 small craft, minesweepers and so forth, are in Britain, while some are in Alexandria. It was stated at the official press conference just a few minutes ago that there is no confirmation here of the Geneva report that the Pétain government has broken diplomatic relations with Britain. It is also said at the press conference that no official message has so far been received from the Pétain government other than the official statement issued publicly last night. There was no comment when the spokesman was questioned as to whether or not General de Gaulle was consulted before the naval action was taken at Oran. The general himself has said nothing. Mr. Churchill gave no information yesterday of the position in French territory bordering the Mediterranean. There are unofficial reports that certain units of the French Foreign Legion in Syria want to follow the 6,000 Polish troops into Palestine. But the position in Syria, as well as in Algeria and Morocco, is still unclear. Many people fear that the older military and civil officials in these areas, preferring dictatorship to change, will accept the position of Axis proconsuls willingly. The French soldiers are believed to want nothing but to lay down their arms, go home and find out what's happened to their families. The German radio continues to promise an immediate invasion of Britain. There are reports that troops and shipping are being massed all the way from Narvik to Brest. But there are those who see in this a repetition of previous German threats and concentrations, and who expect the actor to push Spain into the war, take Gibraltar and the Portuguese ports, and attempt to bomb and starve the British into submission without undertaking the actual invasion of the country. For some days, it seems that progress has been made in solving the Irish problem. And then again, on other days, it doesn't. Mr. De Valera said today that his government has no intention of departing from the policy of neutrality adopted last September. Romania appears now to be definitely lined up with the Axis. Her expulsion of British engineers from the oil fields is believed to have been dictated by Germany in order to prevent sabotage. Scattered German planes made lone reconnaissance over England this morning. One of them was sent flaming into the sea by a British fighter before it could bring its photograph back to the German High Command. Another daylight raider dived steeply through a barrage of anti-aircraft fire to drop 6 bombs near a southeast coast village. So far, most of the German planes seem to have restricted themselves to charting searchlights, gun positions, and other island defenses, necessary preparations for a heavy assault. I return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Edward R. Murrow reporting from London. Here is a dispatch from Bucharest. Romania edged closer to Germany today under a new and strongly pro-Nazi government, and 36 British citizens were given until midnight tonight to get out of the Romanian oil fields. The new cabinet was headed by Jugurtu, German-educated friend of Germany's Air Marshal Hermann Göring, as premier. It contained 3 members of the pro-Nazi Iron Guard. Its first proclamation said that it would strive to intensify relations with Germany and Italy, although its foreign policy would remain neutral. Now back to Europe for more news. News reported from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge. Go ahead, Berlin.
Good morning. This is Berlin. The German news agency has just released a report that the French government has severed diplomatic relations with England. The French communique is as follows. The Council of Ministers, meeting at Vichy, under the leadership of President Lebrun, who called them to assemble Thursday morning, has resolved, after learning of the unjustified attack of an important English naval squadron and a French naval squadron, and after recognizing the heroism of the French Navy, to sever diplomatic relations with England. That is the latest news from Vichy, where the French government has been meeting to discuss its relations with its former ally, England. And in view of the French government's order yesterday to all French warships to stop British merchantmen on high seas and to return fire if and when attacked, this brings up a question raised by observers here. Is France technically at war with Great Britain? France has left the war arena in making its armistice with Germany and Italy. But the above order to naval vessels is an act of a belligerent according to a ruling of international law. Naturally, the Mediterranean naval action is the big story in Berlin. And some of the press comments give an idea of the official reaction to the British naval operations. For instance, here are some. A vicious crime. The lawless acts of the English pirates. Perfidious Albion. The bloodbath of Iran. Other brief and similar comments and headlines. According to German reports this morning, two British cruisers attacked and sank a French destroyer, the Frondeur, on June 28th off the Greek island of Crete. The engagement lasted 2 hours. It was thought that the French destroyer was on its way to a home port in compliance with the armistice conditions. Two officers and 14 men were reported to be rescued of the crew of the Frondeur. And according to a high command report last night, a German submarine scored a direct hit on a 23,000-ton British aircraft carrier, Illustrious. The submarine was commanded by Captain Enderoth, who was with Commander Preen when the latter submarine penetrated Scapa Flow early in the war. The Illustrious was reported to be carrying 72 planes at the time. There's no further news of what remains of the French fleet except the reports from Morang. The Germans stated that the Strasbourg, with 5 destroyers and smaller craft, succeeded in breaking away from the British squadron in a race to the naval base at Toulon. At the time of the Oran action, the French fleet had suffered small damage in the 10 months of war. According to the latest available figures, the French fleet consisted of 2 new battleships, the Dunkirk and Strasbourg, and 5 old ones of pre-World War vintage, and 4 new battleships in the process of construction. Then there were 7 heavy cruisers, 1 large aircraft carrier, the Baron, and two others building. There were 11 light cruisers and 3 being built, 61 destroyers and 15 in the process of construction, and approximately 90 submarines, including the world's largest, the Surcouf. According to the official German news agency, the French battleships, the Dunkirk and the Provence, were set on fire at Oran by British guns, while the Bataille struck a mine and sank at the harbor entrance. Thus, 4 French battleships in commission are unaccounted for, as well as the bulk of cruisers, destroyers, and submarines in the latest available German reports. Then this morning, there is a short tale to the naval battle. The official German news agency has issued a denial that peace negotiations have been going on between England and Germany. The report states that such rumors originated in London and that, quote, they are false from A to Z. This is Edwin Hartridge. We're turning now to Columbia and New York.
Here in New York is Linton Wells with more news and his analysis of recent developments. Mr. Wells.
Edwin Hartridge, Columbia's correspondent in Berlin, reported a few moments ago that the Pétain government of France has decided to break off diplomatic relations with Great Britain as a consequence of British action in attacking the French fleet off Oran, Algeria, Wednesday, and seizing more than 200 French naval craft elsewhere, which the French term unjustifiable aggression, according to reports. If you will remember, there has been no news direct from France for 10 days or more. And today the news comes from Berlin direct because Mr. Murrow told us that nothing was known in London about this matter. Information regarding French affairs has come either through Berlin or Rome and therefore may be interpreted as being controlled, if not actually inspired, by the Nazis or fascists. So Mr. Hartridge's reports of a severance of Anglo-French diplomatic relations and hints that the French will now join wholeheartedly with the German and Italians to wage total war against their one-time British ally should be treated with reserve until confirmed from London or other outside points. Such a French act, if true, was quite likely being encouraged by Hitler and Mussolini, and it may be assumed that the propaganda machines of both nations have been exerting every effort to whip the volatile French people into a fury of resentment against the English. The anomaly of the situation is that the British government severed diplomatic relations with the Pétain government soon after the Franco-German armistice was signed, and now recognizes as the legitimate government of France that formed in London by General Charles de Gaulle and a group of French exiles. Therefore, if the Pétain government has formally broken off relations with Britain, there would be little change in the present situation unless it were followed by a formal French declaration of war against the British. The first state of war, incidentally, to exist between the two countries since Napoleon was defeated by the Duke of Wellington at Waterloo 125 years ago. In any event, the Franco-English situation is certainly ironical. Romania has apparently swung definitely into the Nazi orbit. The new government, approved by King Carol, is headed by Jan Gigurtu, German-educated friend of Field Marshal Hermann Göring, and contains three members of the pro-Nazi Iron Guard, whom Carol jailed last year. The new government announced frankly that while it would remain neutral in the present war, it would also strive to intensify relations with Germany and Italy. There are also hints of pogroms against the large Jewish population of Romania, which, of course, would divert the public's mind from other matters. One of the first official acts of the Gigurtu government, as Ed Murrow reported from London this morning, was to expel 36 British employees of the Romanian oil fields. This may be presumed to be the result of German pressure arising out of fears of probable attempts to destroy these valuable Nazi sources of fuel supply. Simultaneously, the head of the Romanian youth movement was permitted to broadcast a denunciation of Russia's aggressive act in occupying Bessarabia and Bukovina, and predict that these territories eventually would be restored to Romania. This lends credence to persistent reports that both Germany and Italy are taking no chances on further penetration of the Red Army into the Balkans and forced Carol to place his country under nominal Nazi control, in effect creating another buffer state like Hungary between Germany and Russia. It also supports the growing belief that the Kremlin acted against Romania without previous notice to either Berlin or Rome. This would seem to throw down the theory that Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini made a deal regarding Romania and bolster the suspicion that Stalin is making hay while the sun shines, getting what he can while the getting is easy and consolidating his position against a day when the Russian and Nazi fascist military machines will come to grip. After all, it should never be forgotten that the basic principle of communism is world revolution, and Russian eyes do not envisage any such world revolution led by anyone outside the Kremlin or based on any social philosophy other than communism. So it is not wishful thinking to foresee the day when the world will be too small to hold both Hitler and Stalin or Nazism and fascism. The possibility of this conflict is further strengthened when you take a look at Russia's quiet moves to encircle Germany by occupying the three Baltic countries, dominating Finland, placing herself within easy striking distance of Scandinavia, consolidating her positions in Poland, and more recently Romania. The whole situation has interesting potentialities, and it is not unlikely that the British are encouraging the Russians.
And with the news thus analyzed by Linton Wells, we conclude this morning report of European developments. We listen to Edward R. Murrow from London and Edward Hartridge reporting from Berlin. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.